سيما بقية الله العالمين روحي وأرواح العالمين بتراب مقدمهم كلها. اللهم العن أول ظالم ظلم حق محمد وآل محمد وآخر تابع له على تابعه. اللهم العن العصابة التي جاهدت الحسين وشايعت وبايعت وتابعت على قتله. اللهم العنهم جميعا. To be hastening in the return of our Imam, please recite the salah.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
One of the أعمال that we have today, which was recited on the mic and brothers repeated, was a statement that we all said it hopefully with our heart. Ya laytana kunna ma'akum fanafuza fawzan azeem. We wish that we were with you in Karbala, so that we would have joined you saved with your heart. In the Muharram of the year 61, Imam Hussein was in Karbala. The companions of the Imam were around 72, and the enemy's army was around 30,000. How many people, you said? The 30,000 people that were on the enemy side fighting the Imam, the foot soldiers and the commanders were people that had written letters to the Imam. Today, this morning, in Karbala, the Imam advised them, one of the things that he did was to remind them of the letters. Shabat ibn Rab'i, didn't you write me a letter? Didn't you tell me to come? I've come. Why are you treating me? There were a lot of people there, but only 72 approximately. Different figures. Where Imam Hussein is. It's not an easy task that we say, Ya laytana kunna ma'akum. It's easy to say. We wish we were with you on the day of Ashura and we sided, we would have sided with you. How would you feel if you had 30,000 people facing you? You know there's no way that you're going to be going out of this alive. How would your personal feelings, we need to look at ourselves and understand what we're actually doing. We're making these claims. If I had my child there, and I have my wife or sister in the camps, am I willing to keep my family there that I know I will become shahid for sure? And my wife, my sister, my daughter are going to be going to captivity. They're going to be treated very ruthlessly. A person that can easily shoot a six-month-old baby neck is not going to be very kind to your wife. Would we be doing that? On the day of Ashura, Imam Hussein salamullah alayhi, when the time for Salat came, Abu Thumama said, Oh Imam Hussein, Salat is near. Imam told him, InshaAllah, Allah makes you one of the musaddeen. Being a musaddeen is very nice status. they probably are not, they want to fight the enemy, which is there, some of them, Qurbatan in Allah, thinking that by killing the grandson of the Prophet, they're going to be getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They said, these people are kafir, we cannot let them pray. So look at the situation, the Imam wants to pray. To show the people that he is not there for any purpose except for us. He's not there to rule over people, and that's a ridiculous idea. That the Imam was there to take over the power for his own personal desires. We have to show that. There was a lot of symbolism in Karbala. The Imam wanted to show and leave for humanity to look at afterwards to realize who is haq and who is batil. One of the things was the salat that the Imam prayed on the day of Ashura. So when, just imagine, you have 30,000 people wanting to fight you, you want to pray. Prayer means you're facing a certain direction and you say, Allahu Akbar, and you cannot throw them on your sword. You cannot pick up a spear and throw it at anyone. Some people were designated, they chose with their own will to be the protectors of the Imam. They wanted to lead the Jama'ah. Companion stands in the front with a golden shield. The enemy is attacking. What weapons do they have? They have the sword, they have spears. This person's got a shield, and you can shield certain things off, but not arrows. So one of these individuals, there's a narration you can find in Nafas ul Ma'ani, he narrates one of the original sources, of course. This individual is standing there. The Imam wants to pray. He sees arrows coming and he takes them to his heart. When the prayer is done, the man falls. He says, he looks at his Imam and says, Afarati, are you satisfied with him? When we say, Ya laytana kunna ma'akum fanafuza fawzan azimah, this is not a joke. When we say we want to be with you, we wish, we want to be like the ones on the night of Ashura, that when the Imam turned off the lights, it means, I take my bay'ah off of you. You can go take my women and children with you. They only want to deal with you. Take them. Take Ruqayya, Kaina, Rubab, everybody, take them with you. They only want to deal with me. Turn off the light for once to leave. Some people left. But companions like Zuhayr got up and said, oh Imam, you want us to leave you? How could we leave you? I swear to God, if I am killed and my body is chopped into pieces and burnt and my ashes are thrown in the air and I'm brought back to life and the same thing happens 70 times, I swear to God, I will not leave you. Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, how would you think he felt there when the Imam said, go? When you say, Ya laytana kunna ma'akum, this is... We mean that on the day of Ashura, the companion said, while we are alive, none of Bani Hashim is going to get killed. This is what we want. How do we do that? Can we just claim it, come here on the day of Ashura and say, Ya laytana kunna ma'akum fanafuza fawzan azima, and just live a life that everybody else is. Well, there was loads of people there in Karbala and in Kufa that had seen Amir al-Mu'mineen, they had seen Imam Hassan, they had seen Imam Hussein, they knew who they were, And yet they failed when the time came to be on the right side. Let me quote to you a hadith so we know from our imams what they expect us to do, what practical advice they have given us that we will be able to reach that side. There's a companion of our fifth and sixth imams, his name is Jabir and Jonathan. Companions of our imams with different levels. Okay? Some of them are very ghostly imams, of higher understanding. Some of them are average. Some of them are the ones that are, you know, barely there. Jabir al-Jufi is one of the closer companions. They get some of the more secret information that other people are not supposed to comprehend, or they can't, not that they're not supposed to. You've probably heard the hadith that says, if Abu Dhar knew what Salman knows, he would have killed him because he would have taken part in his power. That's what I mean. Jabir al-Jufi is one of the closer companions of Imam. You know what Imam Baqir tells him? He says, لَا يَذْهَبَنَّ بِكَ الْمَذَاهِبِ. Don't let people fool you. He first says, is it enough for an individual to consider himself Shia by just having the love of the Ahlulbayt? The love of the Ahlulbayt is great. It can save you, but Torah will save you. But it's not enough. Is it enough for a person to consider himself Shia to just have the love of the Ahlulbayt in their heart? He says, no, then he describes the Shia. I don't want to get into that description. We don't have the time to go over all those traits that are mentioned there. After he finishes that, the Imam finishes that, Jabir turns back and says, oh Imam, if these are the traits of Shia, I don't know anyone who has it. Then the Imam gives him a general principle. It's a little scary, and I like to read it for myself, so sometimes we need to scare ourselves to get on the right path. We need to do that. The Imam says, لَا يَذْهَبَنَّ بِكَ الْمَذَابِ. Don't let people say, oh, the love is enough, this, that, the other. General principle. مَنْ كَانَ لِلَّهِ مُطِيعًا فَهُوَ لَنَا وَلِيٌّ. Whoever is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is our wali. This is not the scary part. The scary part is, وَمَنْ كَانَ لِلَّهِ عَاصِيًا فَهُوَ لَنَا عَدُوٌ. If a person is disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are our enemy. If we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we commit sins, the Imam is telling this in the safety. You're not a friend. When the Imam was moving towards Kufa, people that came out of Kufa and met the Imam on the way, you know what they told him? They said, the hearts of the Kufans are with you, but their swords are against you. Some of the people there knew what the Imam was saying. They knew he was righteous. They had love for him, but that love didn't stop them from going to Kaaba. And since they persisted on that wrong path, they reached very, very or became very ruthless towards the Imam. Some of the things that we read about what happened there in Kaaba is beyond imagination. How could you do that? Even if you consider them your enemy. There's only 72 people plus the family that are fighting. You've got 30,000 people. What are you worried about? Why do you have to do that to people? Why do you have to treat them so ruthlessly? The love that they had for the Imam did not stop them from going to Karbala and fighting the Imam. Brothers and sisters, we have an Imam that's alive. We have an Imam that we're sending letters to inviting him to come. Du'a and salat all the time. There's another scary hadith that tells us when the Imam comes, some of the people that thought he was going to be one of them are going to go against him. Let me ask you a question. Who's going to think that he's from them? Is it the Wahhabis? The Wahhabis think that the 12th Imam is going to be one of them? Is it the non-Muslims that believe in the 12th Imam that would consider him one of them? I think it's going to be some of the Shia. We're going to be tested. We have a similar case. If we want to be on the right side when these tests come, we've got to be obedient to Allah subhanahu. We can't be careless about my job and not even know is this halal or haram and expect to be on the right side when the time comes. When the Imam faced the people, one of the statements that he made was, you know why you're going against me? Because your stomachs are full of haram. You don't care where you earn the money. If we do that, then when the time comes, even if we have that love, we're fooling ourselves. Because that's not true love. You can't love a person and go and kill them. I can't be careless about my prayer, about my fast, not even knowing is my prayer right or wrong. I can't be calling the Imam and not worry about my hijab. Not worry about my financial situation. Do I have any debt to my 12th Imam? Did you know Qums belongs to the 12th Imam? It's not something that I'm doing him a favor. We have it on a hadith. Don't think if you're paying Qums, you know, inshallah, or don't think that you're doing anyone a favor. Allah has given you that money, and He says, for your own benefit, 20% of it, give to your Imam. If you don't, you're doing the same thing that the people did after Imam Hussein was fought. That was to attack the camps and steal the property of Imam. It's Imam's property. I don't have a choice. It's not like, oh, I choose to take this money and give. It's his. You just have to take it out. If you don't, we're doing the exact same thing that those people. We're being as ruthless of those people that, according to that narration, had to cut off the finger of the Imam to get the ring. If we want to be true Shias and repeat this with our heart and really mean it, and be it to say that, Ya laytana kunna ma'akum fanafuza fawzan 'azima. Let's start, brothers and sisters. If I haven't in the past, there's always time to change. Why not be a total? Why not be like total? With love for Hadrat Fatima, sallallahu alayhi
wa sallam.
The love, the true love that he had, he did some wrong. But he did have love in his heart. On the day of Ashura, he realized these people are actually going to fight the Imam. He couldn't stand it. He was shivering. The true love does that. You may make some wrong choices. Steps that you're not supposed to. There's always time. As-salamu alaykum ya Aba. It was the day of Ashura. We hope Imam Al-Hafiz. But there came a time where all the companions had become shaykh. Even Ali ibn Al-Asghar had become shaykh. The call of the Imam was not there. You know, when he would go and fight after everyone was gone, the family was worried about the Imam. So the Imam, according to narration in history, would come close to the tents and call out, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. All those calls were done at once. The Imam was صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله يا مظلوم أيها الشهيد بك أربلا When all the companions were gone, the Imam had fought in his thirst, and the wounds had gotten him off the horse. He was on the ground. The Janah went to the tent. The family are waiting to hear, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There's no sound like that coming in. All of a sudden, they hear a horse. They go out of the tent, they see their janab. But oh my God, Imam al-Hussein is not on the horse. One of the children, Abdullah ibn al-Hussein, the little child of Imam al-Hussein, according to narration, he started running towards the Imam. He reached there, one of the enemy was standing on the Imam, holding his sword to strike the Imam. Abdullah extended his hand, saying, Oh no, don't strike my uncle. The enemy brought his sword down, Abdullah's head was cut off. Imam al-Hussein tries to hug Abdullah. Oh son of my brother, why did you come? Why didn't you stay with your auntie Zainab? The enemy took Abdullah. As-salamu alayka ya الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى